Good to be back again. It's been since before Christmas that I've spoken, and we had a good Christmas break. We went to Enchanted Rock, and you guys know, anybody ever been to Enchanted Rock? Just about an hour west of Austin, northwest of Austin, and it's a mountain that you climb, and you know, anytime you do something like try to climb a mountain, it's always good to ask, how high is the mountain, or what's the end point of the mountain? That's what I wanted to find out when I got there, because when you know where the end is, it kind of gives you a little strength for the journey. You know, as you're climbing up the mountain, you kind of see where the end is, and then you have a little encouragement to keep going, to persevere. And so, in the same way, we here in Katy Church, we're talking about our vision, our goals for the year 2016, and we're kind of casting a vision of the mountain that we want to climb. And as we look at this mountain, it's helpful for us to think of, okay, what is the goal? What is the end point that I want to get to? And so this morning, I want to continue to cast the vision centered around the glory of God. And just from the very start, from the get-go, I want to give you my second and third point of this sermon, because the second point deals with the end point, the goal, what we want to get to, and the third point relates to it. So here we go. We're going to state it right up front, the point number two, and that is this, that the end goal of who we are is worshiping Jesus, okay? That's the goal. Worshiping God, glorifying Him is our end goal. And we'll unpack that during the sermon, but that's what it is, okay? Now, I want to give you point three, okay? Point three is that the greatest way to glorify God, to worship, to bring the greatest worship to Jesus, is for all the peoples of the earth to worship Him. Okay? So that's my point three. So point two, our end goal, that top of the mountain, is worshiping God. Worshiping Jesus, glorifying Him. Related to that, point three, the way to bring greatest glory to God, to worship Him, is for all the peoples of the earth to worship Him. Okay? Now, to give us a little encouragement as we're climbing up that mountain, we have point one. And so that's what we're going to come to right now. If you will open up your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, we'll be looking at Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through 21. I've already given you the spoiler. You know, you heard about the spoiler of points two and three, but we're going to come back to point one. And starting in verse 14 of chapter 15, as we, as Katy Christian Community Church, as we think about who we are, where we want to go for the year 2016 and beyond, what is that journey that we are going to be going on, and how can we be sustained in it? I want us to look first at verse 14. Paul says here, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. So, what kind of encouragement can we have as we're on the journey trying to get to our end goal? The first point I want to give out is that God's grace makes us competent for missions and ministry. Okay? God's grace makes us competent for missions and ministry, that end goal that we want to get to. Therefore, draw upon God's grace. This should give us confidence. Okay? Looking here in verse 14, Paul, again, he does something that is a little bit anti-human, a little bit anti-Asian. He gives an affirmation, right? He says, I myself am convinced. I am persuaded. It's that same word used in Romans chapter 8 where Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor anything can separate us from the love of Christ. Right at the end of chapter 8, he uses that same word. I am convinced. I am persuaded. And what is he convinced and persuaded of? That they are full of goodness, full of knowledge, able to instruct, to counsel one another. So God's grace, because of who we are in Christ, enables us to minister and do missions for him. Okay? He does this in four ways. I see this here in this passage. The first is because of who we are in Christ. All that we have in Romans chapters 1 through 8, all of that we have in Christ, the Holy Spirit, enables us to do ministry for God. He makes us competent, makes us adequate. The second way is through others. Through others, God makes us competent and adequate to do ministry and missions. Look at verse 15. Paul says, I have written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace of God, grace God gave me. So this may seem like a little bit of a contradiction. In verse 14, Paul says, you are adequate. I have made you competent to instruct one another. But then in verse 15, he says, oh, but I'm written you very boldly in earlier parts of Romans. Which one is it, Paul? Well, I think what Paul is saying here is that through others, God equips us for ministry and the work of missions. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it talks about pastors and teachers who are to be used to equip people to do the work of the ministry. So God equips us to do ministry for him because of who we are in Christ, but also through others. He also gives us specific positions and roles to minister in. Look in the latter part of verse 15. He says, I'm reminding you of these things because of the grace God gave to me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. So Paul saw his position as an apostle of Jesus Christ, as a missionary, so to speak, as a church planter, as something that God had given specifically to him. If you'll look back in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, Paul there talks about how each person in the body of Christ has been given a specific role, a specific place to minister in. Verse 6 says, we all have different gifts according to the grace given us, and prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging. So God's grace equips us, makes us competent for the work of missions and ministry. So for those of you who are considering a place of service, whether it be teaching Sunday school or helping out with the children's ministry or serving on the worship team or serving as a pastor or serving as a missionary. Pray about it. Ask God, what is it that you have gifted me to do? Ask God, is this what you want me to do? And if you get the sense that God does want you to serve in a particular capacity, you can move forward with confidence, knowing that God's grace will equip you, has equipped you to do ministry. And especially as we look at the end goal of glorifying God through all the peoples of the earth worshiping Him, for those of you who may feel the nudge to be a missionary and take the gospel where it has never gone before, you can move out and go out with confidence that if that's what God is calling you to do, He will give you the grace to be competent to do the work of missions. The fourth way that God's grace equips us is that God is the one who bears fruit in all of our ministries, whatever ministry that we're involved with. We see this all throughout this passage. Look, if you will, in verse 16, it says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by whom? The Holy Spirit, right? Verse 18, I will not venture to speak of anything except what I, the great apostle Paul, has accomplished. Is that what your Bible says? I'm reading from the NIV. No. What does it say? I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Verse 19, just to show that it is God who is doing it, sometimes through the power of signs and miracles. And then further on in verse 19, through the power of my great financial backing and my education and my experience and my culture. Is that what your Bible says? No, through the power of the Spirit. And so we see that God's grace makes us competent for ministry, for missions, because of who we are in Christ, through the equipping of others, and through His gifting of us for specific roles, and also He is the one who bears fruit in our ministries. It's God who does it. So draw upon God's grace as you seek to step out and serve Him and minister for Him. And how do we do this? I think primarily it's that attitude, that mindset of utter dependency upon God. But in addition to that, it's as we come before the Lord in prayer, we are drawing upon His grace to minister. So when we were in Asia and we were serving as missionaries, we would often go to visit people from a Muslim background. And before we would enter into their households, my friend and I, we would pray before we entered into the household. While we were in the household, we continued in a spirit of prayer and dependency upon God, knowing that we needed His power to work through us. After we left the house, we would pray together. And so we're constantly in a time of prayer. And so you too, as you serve, as you minister, draw upon God's grace. As you're teaching Sunday school, you're depending upon the Lord to give you the power. As you're cooking a meal for the elderly who need your care, you're depending upon the Lord. As you're caring for that child who needs just someone to hold her, you're in a spirit of dependency upon the Lord. So God has made us competent for ministry and for missions. Therefore, draw upon God's grace. This gives us confidence, okay? Now, moving on to point two, which I've already given to you. Let's remind ourselves, worshiping Jesus is our ultimate goal. Therefore, worship Jesus alone. This gives us passion. Okay? This gives us passion. Look, if you will, in verse 16 again. Paul says here that he was a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul here is using worship language. And what he's saying here is that his proclamation of the gospel to the unbelievers was an act of worship. We're studying Leviticus in the adult Sunday school. He's saying this is like a priestly offering. So as we have learned, for those of us who went to CMC, Paul proclaimed the gospel. Why did he proclaim the gospel? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Secondarily, what? To save sinners, right? Secondary, right? For those of us who went to CMC. But primary, Paul proclaimed the gospel. Even the proclamation of the gospel, that was an act of worship. Performing a duty as a priest, right? Primary, for the glory of God, right? Secondary, to save sinners. And so here, even in verse 16, we see that Paul is exalting Christ, that his whole purpose for being a missionary was to bring glory to God. So to that end, we want to keep the glory of God and the worship of Jesus at the forefront of all that we do. We want to keep that as our end goal. And we can do that by making sure that is our motive in all that we do. And we can also do that by giving God credit whenever we experience success in any kind of ministry. And that's what Paul has done here. He is saying, I'm not going to boast in what I have accomplished. I'm going to boast in what Christ has accomplished through me. We need to do that as well. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about my good friend, Pastor David Hsu. When I knew him 20 years ago, as we were going through school together, Pastor David, back then he was just Student David. And so Student David would experience some success in a ministry, or maybe he, translated a message really well into Mandarin, just like he did at the CMC conference just 2 weeks ago. And we would say to him, oh, Brother David, we just called him Dave back then, Dave, great translation. And his response was always, praise God for his grace. And so I really learned that from him, and it wasn't just something that he said, to be spiritual, but he really meant that from his heart. And so we too, as we do work, as we do ministry for God, let's make sure that we're doing it with the motive of glorifying Jesus and giving him credit for any success that we might experience. And again, all of us, we need to guard what is our motives for serving the Lord, for doing ministry. And again, for those of you who God is nudging at your heart to take the gospel to the unreached, please examine your motives to not do it just so that men will applaud you again, like we say, oh, wow, look at that wonderful person, how incredible of a Christian she is, that she's willing to sacrifice so much to go off to these difficult lands and spread the gospel. Woo, yeah, let's give it up for this person. No, we want to make sure that we're bringing the applause to God, to Jesus, that that's our true motive. And even missionaries, they have to guard what is their motive for serving the Lord as they do. Be careful when you compare yourselves to others and as you're doing service or work for the Lord. Oh, why can't I experience such success in ministry like the team in Turkey does? Sometimes if we get too much into a comparison war, comparison battle for missionaries, well, I've heard some missionaries say that they can't even read each other's prayer letters because they start to read someone else's prayer letters and see all the great success that they're experiencing in this country. I can't even pray for my fellow missionary. So let us make sure that the end goal of what we are doing is to bring worship to God. A few quotes here. Here we go. So worshiping God is our ultimate goal. Therefore, worship Jesus alone. This gives us passion. Okay, this gives us passion. From the book of Let the Nations Be Glad by John Piper. If you haven't read it, I really encourage you to read this book. Okay. He just has a few quotes. We'll just read a few of them. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and goal of missions. It's the goal of missions because in missions we simply aim to bring the nations into the white, hot enjoyment of God's glory. The goal of missions is the greatness of the peoples and the greatness of God. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Let the peoples praise thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And finally, but worship is also the fuel of missions. Passion for God in worship precedes the offer of God in preaching. You can't commend what you don't cherish. So, missions begins and ends in worship. So, God's grace makes us competent for ministry and missions. Worship of God is the end goal. And lastly, God receives the greatest glory when all the peoples of the earth worship Him. Look, if you will, in verse 19. Paul there says in the latter part that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. We see that this principle that God's glory is greatest when all the peoples of the earth worship Him, here at the end of verse 19, by Paul's strategy. What Paul wanted to do was in this area from Jerusalem to modern-day Croatia, what he wanted to do was to establish churches in strategic cities or counties or areas who could then finish the job of evangelism or evangelization to their particular counties. And then this freed up Paul to lead the church as a pioneer missionary And in verse 20, he says, it was always my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, where no gospel had gone before. And so as that was Paul's ambition, it should also, as leading the church, that should be the ambition as well for the church of Jesus Christ, to see that the church is planted in every people group, every area throughout the world. We see this principle of God's glory being greatly magnified through all the peoples of the earth worshiping Him in all throughout the Bible. We see that, of course, in Matthew 28, which we're all familiar with. Go and make disciples of all the nations. We see that in Revelation 5, where at the end, every nation, every tribe, every people, every tongue will be worshiping God, worshiping the Lamb before the throne. And we see this all throughout the Scriptures. So not only here in Romans chapter 15, but all throughout the Bible, we see God's glory being magnified as many and all peoples of the earth worship Him. But we can also see this logically as well. I mean, many of you have seen the movie Force Awakens, right? Star Wars. And just think about what would bring most glory to the film of The Force Awakens if, you know, if it breaks the $2 billion barrier, if people who are male from 18 to 25 spend $2 billion to watch The Force Awakens, would that really be a magnificent thing for the Star Wars movie? Only in the United States, you know, it surpassed the $2 billion mark. Or what would bring greater glory to the whole Star Wars film if people from China and India and Colombia and New Guinea and old people and young people and men and women, they all broke the $2 billion barrier by going to watch The Force Awakens. What would be greater, you know, testimony to that movie? Well, I would have to say the latter, right? And so not only biblically, but logically, as all the peoples of the earth worship not a Star Wars film, which is a kind of a form of worship, right? But worship the Lord Jesus Christ, how great His glory will be. And so what does that mean for us as a church? As we set out to define who we are as a church, what we want to be, and where we want to go, let us be clear that we as Katy Christian Community Church are committed to seeing disciples, churches among all the people groups, all the ethnic groups of the earth. And how can we do that? You say, Way, Pastor Way, you're talking in the sky. What you're asking us to do is little old Katy Christian Community Church is biting off too big a piece of the chicken. Well, let's break it down then. Let's make it something that seems, you know, step by step here a little bit. The first thing I would say is that we can be committed to this as we change our mindset and see ourselves and others as people who could potentially go to these people groups throughout the earth that don't have a church among them and that don't even have any Christians around them. So as Jim is teaching Sunday school, And he's really duking it out with the seventh graders. Or as some of us are helping out with the elderly ministry that meets on Thursdays. Or as some of us are caring for people in the nursery. We see ourselves and we see the people that we're teaching, caring for, as potential missionaries. People who could go to the ends of the earth. And so as you're changing their diaper, I'm talking about the nurseries, not the seventh graders right now. Sorry about that. As you're changing their diaper, you're caring for them. And not only through your act of caring, which through your good works glorifies God in heaven, but you're enabling and empowering that baby or that elderly or that seventh grade student to also lift up praise to God, which brings glory to Him. But you're also preparing that elderly person or that seventh grader or that baby to one day go out and preach the gospel where there are no Christians and no churches. As long as they can, you know, walk and get on an airplane and or cross the street, they can go out. So see yourself and see the people that you are serving as potential ambassadors to go out to the nations. A second way that we can be, now we can all do this. We don't need a church council to pass it. We don't need the pastoral staff to pass it. Everybody can just change their mindset and say, I am a potential missionary. My seventh graders are potential missionaries. The nursery is a potential missionary. The elderly is a potential missionary. We can all do that right now. We don't need a council vote to do it. Amen? Isn't that great? And the second thing we can do is we can all pray. And as we pray, we are doing the work of seeing all the nations reached for Him. We just got some wonderful prayer guides of the top unengaged, unreached people groups just of East Asia. Now, I know, Ryan, you got a lot more prayer guides for us, but we could just, we have all these people groups in here, and we can start, all of us as individuals, as missional community groups, we can start praying through all these people. All these people just happen to be in East Asia, a lot of them in China, the Lama people, the Miao people, the Gaomong people, the Nunu people. All of these people have, they don't have churches where they are. And we can be praying for these people. Something else that we can do as a church, and we can just be creative. There's lots of creative ways that we can be involved in finishing this task. We could adopt one of these people groups as a church or as a consortium of churches, you know, maybe join up with WHCC or whatever and say, hey, look, we three churches are going to see to it by God's grace that one of these people groups is going to have a church planted among it in the next 20, 25 years. We could do that. Now, that's going to require a little more collaboration, church council passing and all that kind of stuff. But these are all things that we can do. And so take assurance that God will see it through as we step out in faith. Look at the end of verse 21. Paul, just after he says that he wants to be involved in starting churches where Christ is not named, he gives us another assurance in verse 21. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is the promise from God that it will happen. It is written. Those are strong words from Paul. That's like when Jesus said, it is, you have heard that is said. It is written. It will happen. Those who were not told will see. Those who have not heard will understand. These are our future, definitely will happen verbs. It couples with our promise in Revelation 5 that there will be every tribe and nation worshiping God in the end times. And boy, I wish I had this. I wish I had realized this more as I was a missionary, because it sure would have given me some encouragement. Like our first point says, that gives us confidence. As if you are thinking about being one of these who will go out and you will face tough times and you will face suffering and rejection, perhaps even from family members, you need some assurance that God is with you. He's going to pull you through it. He's going to fulfill it. And this is what verse 21 gives to us. So friends, God's grace makes us adequate for missions and ministry. Therefore, rely, draw upon the waterfall of God's grace. Worshiping God is our end goal. Therefore, worship Christ alone in all that we do. Worship Christ alone. This gives us passion. And God is most glorified when all the peoples of the earth are worshiping Him. Therefore, proclaim Christ alone where He is not known. This gives us focus. And so, you know, I think that when Kennedy, back in the 1960s, said, we're going to, when he said, I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth. Now, I bet back in 1960, a lot of Americans were saying, Kennedy, you're out of your mind. You're on the moon already. But by the strength of American scientific progress and willpower of the American people, they did it. They sent a man to the moon. They planted that American flag on the moon, and they brought him back safely. Well, you know, friends, Jesus has given us His directive. And He said, let's go and make disciples of all the nations. And we don't have the power of the American people and ingenuity to do it. We have the grace of God. We're not going to magnify America and plant American flags through all the tribes of India and China. No, we're going to go plant the banner of Jesus Christ for His glory. So by God's grace, we as a part of the Church of Jesus Christ can do it by His grace. And by the way, just as a little side note, we did make it to the top of Enchanted Rock, and we got back down too. Come on up, worship team.